The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
8 o'clock hour. Welcome, welcome. 866-660-5759. Judy Collins and her husband live in New York, and so it's 909 there, so somebody can get a hold of her and tell her we're calling. That'd be good. So we've got that process underway. Meanwhile, topic's underway, and if that pops up in the next couple of moments, we will pursue immediately. Or we, of course, have 8:35 open for those who are on their way to work, so we can make sure to get that done before we get to the 9 o'clock hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, we will welcome the Liberty Ladies. And it's kind of funny. I know one of them. I know of the second one. The third one, I don't think I've ever met. And these are folks who have sort of pooled together resources in order to come up with the amount that gets you into the studio for the Food for the Poor campaign. And we've had folks of individual professions. We've had husband and wife teams, the wonderful couple that have the wedding chapel out in Boyd. And so these are Republican activist women going to join us at 9:05. And I can't wait. All right. 866-660-5759. While we go on the Judy Collins search, let me share with you just something you will not have to look long for, something you will not have to look long for at all. And that is evidence of the treachery, the racial treachery of Chicago. Kimberly Fox, you know who Kimberly Fox is? She is the young lady who was the prosecutor in the Jussie Smollett case. And she caught holy you know what. She had a tough ride, and rightfully so, as you might think, because of what she tried to pull in this Jussie Smollett case. And she has not, shall we say, reacted well. She has not reacted well to some of the pushback. And the reaction has been to suggest, hey, this must be racism.
And the efforts that I've had on criminal justice reform that were once celebrated by many in this county that are now being attacked because of one case and one celebrity, I think we have to ask ourselves, what is this really about?
Well, I have a couple of theories as to what it's about, and we will return to that story in just a moment. But first, we have a little bit of very, very special business to conduct.
Flows and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air.
It was 1968.
Canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way.
And the album was Wildflowers. And we're all going to have our own specific story about this. This is what music does, and it's wonderful, is because for most of you, I know I'm able to offer up stuff from my youth and show it to you for the first time. And then when these folks come to town, we have the opportunity to see them and see them bring the gift that they have brought in person. It's just a magnificent thing. And this Saturday at the Arlington Music Hall, look at this, it's Judy Collins. And ahead of that, we get to say hello to her. Ms. Collins, what an honor. How are you, ma'am?
Thank you. I'm fine. I'm looking forward to seeing you all.
Well, first of all, Arlington Music Hall is a great venue. We got some good Texas spring weather. I don't think it'll be 90. I don't think it'll be 30. So we'll just bring you in and welcome you for an amazing evening of a reminder of the catalog that you have brought. We're just so, so grateful. Let me start with a present. What are you doing now? What's life like for you now? How much touring do you do? What other stuff do you do?
I do about 120 shows a year. I write songs. I perform. I record. I write books. I'm still cooking on all five burners.
Well, that's the thing. That's the way to do it.
And it's the only thing to do.
I mean,
what else could I do?
Well, exactly. What else? When you're born to a career like this and with a gift like this, now let's go to the complete other side. You're a native Seattleite, correct?
Yes, I was born there in 1939. Then we moved to L.A. to Hollywood, and then to Denver. So I have the West as my hereditary gene. That's what the gene is. It's a Western gene, I think.
So was it sort of the club, the Western, whatever passed for the Western club scene of the 60s and the growing folk popularity and that movement? What was it that that drew you into a career of this?
Well, I was always trained for a career. I mean, I had music all the time. I played the piano. I sang in the choirs. My father was in the radio business, so I knew all the Rodgers and Hart songs that he sang. And I played Mozart and Rachmaninoff. And I just never stopped working. And about 15, I found a couple of folk songs that completely changed my life. And I jumped into the folk world. I got a guitar and started at it, going to the Denver Folklore Society and then to the clubs. In 60 years ago last month was when I first had my paid job.
Man.
At Michael's Pub in Boulder, Colorado.
Michael's Pub.
Never stopped since.
Does Michael still exist? Could you walk in there today?
No, it's something else there. I think Michael Vassesi is gone. And then, of course, as you mentioned, all those wonderful clubs. There and then getting to Chicago, the Exodus in Denver, the Boulder Club, clubs in all over the country, including, of course, the great Gate of Horn in Chicago. And then I finally made it to New York in 1961.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because here's a little thing that might give us all a little memory of this. This was a record, the actual vinyl, of course, in Mom and Dad's collection. Enjoy this for just a second.
I am a maid of constant sorrow.
Maid of constant sorrow.
Oh, my.
The title track of your first album.
Yeah, and I'll show you the way I sing it today. I am a maid of constant sorrow, have seen troubles all my day. So it's different but the same.
Well, I mean, it is, and yet I've seen a lot of acts that are in their 60s, 70s, some beyond, and they bring it to the stage, and it's not exactly the same, but it's okay. There's plenty of latitude. I mean, who sings at 70-something the way they did at 20-something? But I know some people who have seen you, and I don't know what you're doing in terms of vocal exercises or whatever, just clean living, but you've still got it. The notes are still there.
Well, I'm very lucky. I've had a lot of gifts, and part of it is the travel. Part of it is the studying. From the very get-go, because, you know, you have to practice a couple hours a day when you're playing Mozart concertos when you're a kid, and it fuses with the rest of the kind of discipline that we have to have, because I have to live like an athlete. I have to eat right, sleep right, practice, and, you know, don't drink, don't smoke, don't scream, and try to take care of yourself.
The great Judy Collins is with us. Arlington Music Hall. She'll be there Saturday night. ArlingtonMusicHall.net for tickets. So you had been making records for the bulk of the 60s before, you know, what It Happens, or the before we get to Both Sides Now, before we get to, you know, to the associations with Steve Stills and somebody and doing Beatles songs. So what was the moment at which you realized that the stars had aligned in a way that the world was going to soon know who you were?
I think they happened in 63, I guess, when I had recorded Turn, Turn, Turn. And I had two godfathers. One of them was a guy named Bill Gavin. The Gavin Report, he lived in Seattle. He was a very good friend of my dad's. But he had a report, which was sort of the precursor of Billboard, et cetera.
Right.
That report, the Gavin Report, would go out all over the country and name the songs which were being recorded, which were great. And I made the Gavin Report in 1963, so I knew I was on the road.
So as we then get to the end of the 60s, hang on a second. I'm not going to bury you in excerpts, but I just love it so much. But I just want everybody just to see a little bit maybe of what they might get on Saturday night. Judy Collins at Arlington Music Hall Saturday evening. How do you pick songs? How'd you pick this?
You know, I knew, I just ran into, the other day in Canada, in Calgary, I ran into Ian Tyson. He came to see my show.
Whoa.
And I knew Ian and Sylvia from the early 60s in the Village, and I had already recorded Four Strong Winds. Four strong winds that grow lonely, seven seas that run high. Yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous song. And I had recorded that probably on my fourth album or something, maybe my fifth. Mm-hmm. And then when I met up with Stephen Stills in 1968, he said, we need another album, another song for this album. I was doing my eighth album for Elektra, and he was playing in the band and bossing me around. And he said, I think we should do Someday Soon. So that's how Someday Soon got on that album with that glorious, that was Buddy Emmons and James Burton, that pedal steel, I'll never forget it. I wish I could travel with a pedal steel.
You should seem to be able to get one. I mean, you're Judy Collins, for crying out loud.
I could.
I mean, I could.
I think I got to think about it.
I think you do. Listen,
I'm actually making a new album with a group called the, it's called Winter Stories, and it's with a group called the Chatham County Line, and they are a bluegrass group, and there is a pedal steel on that album.
Well,
it's coming out in November, and it's got all kinds of wonderful things on it, and it has pedal steel on it.
And we will look for that. I had the great joy of talking to Graham Nash not long ago, and he was talking about sort of back in the day, and with him and Joni Mitchell and Steve Stills and you. And just coming up to this hour, I played a little bit of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes just from 1969, their first album. That, how big a deal was that to be instantly immortalized in that? And yet, that is deeply personal stuff from a relationship that was banging off the walls. I mean, when he played that for you, it's like, okay.
Oh, it was terribly poignant. He came to the where I was working in Santa Monica. He'd written it before, but I had not heard it. And he came to the hotel in May. I think it was my birthday, so it was May 1st of 1969, and he played me the song. We both cried, and then I said to him, you know, it's beautiful, but it's not going to get me back.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, he and I have remained friends all these years, which is amazing. But we just finished, a couple months ago, 115 shows together all over the country. And in about a year and a half, we did that. We'll go back out probably in 2020 or maybe at the end of this year. So we had an incredible run when we finally decided we should go out and sing together.
Well, the product of that is great. The product of all both of you have done is remarkable. And then so we get into the 70s, and then a little piece by Stephen Sondheim from A Little Night Music, Send in the Clowns. How did this arrive in your life? And it became probably the biggest thing the world knows you for.
Well, it came in a strangely synchronistic way, coincidentally. My friend and longtime friend and, of course, inspiration, Leonard Cohen, when he and I met in 66 and I started to record his songs, we also became friends, and he introduced me to his two, I already knew the friend that was the mutual friend who introduced us, Mary Martin, but then he introduced me to Yaffa Lerner, who has since died, and to Nancy Bacall, who's still with us. Nancy Bacall called me in 1973 and said, you must listen to this song. And she sent me the Little Night Music cast album.
Right.
And that's how it happened.
And then the next thing I remember buying of yours was Judith in 1975, just that picture
yeah.
of you. And the stuff that I'll Be Seeing You, Moon's a Harsh Mistress. You did the great Steve Goodman song that Arlo Guthrie had done, City of New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, City of New Orleans, yeah.
Just remarkable stuff. And I can't believe I get to talk to you, and thank you for all of that and just for everything you've done, and welcome you here to town, to DFW, to the Arlington Music Hall, arlingtonmusichall.net. It is Saturday night, April 13th, Judy Collins. And in our couple of remaining minutes, I did a little homework. I thought, what's going on with Judy? What's going on in her life? You know, can we brag on your husband for a minute?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so first of all, Louis or Lewis, what does he go by?
Lewis.
Okay, so her husband, Judy Collins, I mentioned yesterday in plugging you, I said, here comes Judy Collins. I'm going to ask her about her husband, whose work you absolutely know. And here are the two things that stand out to me. He's an artist and a designer. Let me go to the thing that everybody knows, and maybe you know the story of this because I sure don't. One of the things he designed is the Nutrition Facts label with the style and font and the thing that shows us how many grams of what.
Yeah.
How did he get that gig?
Well, it was a consumer. Somebody from the New York, the FDA or somebody, wanted to have that done. And at that time, just before we met in 1978, mm-hmm. he was hired by the government to design the nutritional packages, the package guide, which is on everything. It's
everything.
On every drink. It's on every package.
Yeah.
And then, of course, and he always, you know, every place we go, we pick up a bottle and say, oh, there it is. He also designed. So that's phenomenal. I mean, worldwide effort and extremely important for health. And the other thing he designed was the Korean Memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C.
That's where I was going, because you have the statues of the guys walking uphill, but the mural,
the ghostly mural
where these soldiers seem to be coming out of a cloud. That was the other thing. I told the audience there's one thing he's done that you will totally know and totally be familiar. Another thing that if you're not familiar with it, you must go see it.
Yes.
How did that come about?
He was hired by the architects of note, I forget what they call it, architects of note, because the first design, it was quite well known, the scandal over the first design, because the first design intended to cut down all the trees on the mall.
Yep.
I mean, it was just disgusting.
Yep.
And the architects called, and it's an old friend of his, and he said, I remember it very well, sitting in the same room, he said, can you guide me towards somebody who can design this? And Lewis said, well, what about me?
What am I, chopped liver? I did the second on the side of a can of soup. I can do anything.
and of course, he has had a history of doing all kinds of wonderful, beautiful things, museums and of course, products. He designed all of the skis for Head Ski when they turned from black to colored skis. That was his imprint. He made them all in turquoise and blue and purple and white, you know. And so he's done phenomenal work. He always has done. And so he designed it. And actually, after his friends in the design business found out that he was up for it, they backed out.
They knew what they were up against.
Yeah, they did.
And we know what we are in store for. Please, best to him, and thank him for
thank
the work that
you.
He has done.
Thank
and,
you. That's
and
lovely.
Thank you, Judy
I'll tell
Collins.
Him right away.
Please do. Judy Collins is at the Arlington Music Hall on Saturday night. Tickets right now at arlingtonmusichall.net. Travel safety. We will look for the album later this year.
Oh,
and just
good
health and good luck in everything you do. What a joy for me to be able to thank you for a lifetime
thank
of musical
thank you so
memories.
Much. God bless you and have a beautiful day.
Sure will. That is Judy Collins right there. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Isn't it real?
That was Judy Collins on the phone.
Isn't it queer?
And I was going to ask, you know, you never say a lady's age for the most part.
My timing this late in my career.
But she kind of gave herself up, referring to being born in 1939. She is going to turn 80. Later this year, still touring, still doing great, still looking great. And funny thing, what did she mention? Nutrition. And Ron and I were just talking, and let's just sort of punctuate the soda weight loss message, because it's all about nutrition. She's about twice your age and still rocking and rolling. That's how you do it. Pay attention to what you put in your body.
But Mark, you can remember when we were on the journey of my soda weight loss, how I kept saying how good I feel. I felt so much younger. My skin was feeling so much younger. And yes, it was all about the nutrition and making good choices that my soda team had taught me.
So you made great choices to drop 60 pounds last year.
Yes.
And now it's about choices as you've kept every single bit of that off
for over four months now. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
How is that decision-making process like? What's daily?
Well, I don't deny myself anything. I just choose my food differently. And it's all about everything that I learned on the program.
And this is how you do it. And you will learn how to get started. If you heard about Rhonda's adventure, you've heard about other people who have lost 40, 60, 120 pounds on soda weight loss. It all starts with your phone call, because they will show you exactly what it's going to be like for you, and you'll have the same support and you'll have great results. It's 1-800-555-6521, 1-800-555-6521, or SOTA, S-O-T-A, SOTAweightloss.com. Check it out. You'll see that big Mavericks logo. There's a lot of love for the Mavericks right now with Dirk's farewell tonight, but SOTA is proud to have been vetted and chosen as the official weight loss and nutrition program of the Dallas Mavericks organization. So let me get you over there and let you also take a look at those 1,636 reviews from real people who have had their adventure and their weight loss joy. 4.9 average stars. They're doing a lot of things right. 7 locations across North Texas. SOTA Weight Loss, 1-800-555-6521. SOTA Weight Loss and Nutrition. The website is SOTAweightloss.com. SOTAweightloss.com. SOTA, it's state of the art. And it's 8:33. Gordon Griffin's in the newsroom.
A season, turn.
Made famous by the birds.
Time for everything.
Actually made famous by the Bible. Scriptural lyrics. Yeah, I guess these makes these the oldest lyrics in all of music. Judy Collins' take on turn, and she mentioned that in our interview. Whew, that was just great. Hope you enjoyed. And if you're getting in the car, I missed your talk with Judy Collins. Nah, you never miss anything. First, go get tickets to see her on Saturday night, Arlington Music Hall, arlingtonmusichall.net, and then go listen to it later on your own time. Rhonda puts the podcast up. We finish up at 10 every morning, so by 11 most days, it's there. Just go to this hour, the middle hour of the show, about halfway through, or no, the beginning of this hour. We're halfway through now, and there's our chat with Judy Collins. She talks about hanging out with Stephen Stills and what got her big on the folk scene and the kind of stuff she's doing now and the amazing artistry of her husband, Lewis. So we covered all of that. All right, let's cover some things that are big in the news today and this week. 866-660-5759. We watched, Lisa and I watched our share of Desperate Housewives. And so there's Felicity Huffman, who I thought was great in that. And she's been in some movies since that I think her work is amazing. And her husband is Bill Macy. That's just a whole lot of talent in one married couple. And now here she is, she and Lori Loughlin, whose work I just don't have an awareness of her. She's just not really on my radar at all. What was she in, Full House or something? Never saw an episode of it. They ran across Bill Macy in like a parking lot in a parking garage. You know, the TMZ people or something saying, hey, I understand Felicity pled guilty today to the college admission scandal. I can't talk about it. How did he, I guess they figured he didn't know, but Lori Loughlin's husband did, because he's in as much trouble as she is in that marriage. In this one, Bill Macy, no problem. Well, he may have to kiss his wife goodbye for a jail term at some point. And this is going to be a really interesting test of the levels of justice. It's kind of funny. There are some things that can get you treated way better in the justice system. In Chicago, Black and Famous is a nice compare. Oh, Black Liberal and Famous, excuse me. Well, is a very nice combination. Being rich and famous of any race is a nice plus if you can get that thing going for you. But Lindsay Davis on ABC this morning talks about how Felicity Huffman may be going to jail for this. Here's my rule, and let me see if it's the same as yours. If you have a famous person who gets nabbed for something, this incredible act of fraud, and all these well-to-do people, not all, most of them not famous, but some of them are, who paid big money to get their kids into to fraudulently get their kids into colleges, which is a horrible disservice to people who perhaps did not get into college, who had worked just as hard, or actually who did work, who actually worked harder. They did what was required of them and perhaps did not get a space so that Felicity Huffman's kid could. That's bad. People go to jail for stuff like this. And if people go to jail for stuff like this, she should go to jail for stuff like this. Should she get, she's been very contrite. She said, I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. She has exactly the right attitude of somebody who has been caught. And again, whether it's Duane Carraway locally or Felicity Huffman, don't scoff when people are kicked in the head into the contrition they should have had all along. Let us stipulate that she shouldn't have done this in the first place. Let us stipulate that Duane Carraway never should have taken $500,000 in bribes. And sometimes it's hitting rock bottom. Sometimes it's getting caught. That is the only wake-up call you'll ever get. And then you get it. And you know what happens after a wake-up call? You wake up. And it kind of shakes you to your bones and you realize, good Lord, look what I did. The part of your conscience that you willfully suppressed is active again. And that's where you get contrition and redemption. And our hearts and our minds should always be open to that contrition and that redemption. Now, that doesn't spring you from punishment in the case of lawbreaking. Duane's going to jail 5th of May for almost 5 years. Deserves every day of it. Felicity Huffman, if people, and I guess I could probably find 50 cases of similar acts of fraud. Maybe some folks went to jail and some folks didn't. Maybe there'll be an extenuating or mitigating circumstance where she just gets, I don't know, some type of restitution, some type of probation. Honestly, if I'm a judge, and boy, you want that. You want me to be a judge. You actually do. I'm locking her up. Now, probably, I think 20 years is on the table. I think this kind of thing, you get a maximum sentence, you go 20 years. I think there's a strong chance she doesn't go to jail at all. I would send her to jail for 6 months. Oh, 6 months, that's a wrist slap. Oh, really? You go to jail for 6 months. That will rock your world for the rest of your life. And that's what I want to have happen. Now, there's another argument that says that she ought to get more time than maybe the average person gets because she is so visible and because we can sort of, we can, quote, make an example of her, famous example, as more of a deterrent. Never been quite comfortable with that because I don't think that your fame or notoriety, that your fame and your wealth should not accrue to your benefit, but I also don't think it should accrue to your detriment. If you commit a crime, you commit a crime. And I'm, as a judge, I would put your fame completely aside and I wouldn't let it dazzle me or snow me into being soft on you, nor would I say, well, here we go, America. We're going to put Felicity Huffman in jail until she's nearly 80 years old. Booyah! There you go. Nah, that doesn't seem right either. So what is right? ABC's Lindsay Davis had the story this morning.
The prison time is definitely on the table. The charge carries a maximum 20-year prison sentence. But that being said, in Huffman's plea agreement, federal prosecutors say they'll recommend she serve a term at the low end of the sentencing guideline range, which is 4 to 10 months. Now Huffman says she's ready to accept the consequences of her actions.
Desperate Housewives star Felicity Huffman, one of 14 defendants on Monday, who agreed to plead guilty to use.
By the way, Lori Loughlin did not plead guilty. She did. Is she going to fight this? That would not be smart.
Bribery and mail fraud to get their children admitted into selective schools.
Do you plan to fight this?
In a statement, the 56-year-old broke her silence about the ordeal, saying, I want to apologize to the students who work hard every day to get into college and to their parents who make tremendous sacrifices to support their children and do so honestly. I am in full acceptance of my guilt, and with deep regret and shame over what I have done, I accept full responsibility for my actions and will accept the consequences that stem from those actions.
That is exactly, and listen, maybe a lawyer wrote that, I don't know, but it's from her, and, you know, give, what do I always say? Give people benefit of the doubt until you have firm reason to know that they don't deserve benefit of the doubt. Follow that? So if that is from her, I am in full acceptance of my guilt, and with deep regret and shame over what I have done, I accept full responsibility for my actions and will accept the consequences that stem from those actions. That's precisely what contrition sounds like, and that is the first step toward redemption.
Her husband, actor William H. Macy, who has not been charged, seen here in Los Angeles Monday.
Yeah, here you go.
How's Felicity doing?
Thanks for asking. I can't talk about that.
Thanks for asking. I can't talk about that.
I heard that she pled guilty today. How's she holding up?
How's she holding up? I can't talk
Huffman
about that.
Has mostly been reclusive throughout the scandal, only recently photographed out with her younger daughter, Georgia. But it is her older daughter, Sophia, who Huffman admits she betrayed, paying $15,000 to have an SAT proctor correct the answers on her exam, receiving a 400-point increase on her SAT.
That's the thing. And when this story first broke, I thought, what? I mean, I was kind of dismissive. I said, well, if a bunch of famous people did this and they threw their fame or their money around and, you know, and tried to get their kids into college, and it was like earth-shattering news that day. I said, am I missing something? I mean, I it's interesting, but am I missing something? I've come to get it because this is like, this goes to the core of fairness, of the core of unfairness, that this is what you try to have not happen. Because I think about the lives and livelihoods of kids who didn't get into school, just missed it because Felicity Huffman's kid did. And maybe some of these kids from these folks didn't deserve to be in college at all, but they had phony you know, sort of resumes as college athletes having their faces photoshopped onto some girl playing water polo, somebody else in volleyball, somebody else in something else. It really is a dastardly thing to do. The sheer dishonesty of it is one thing, but it also is an offense committed against others, people that you don't even know, and in so doing, clearly don't care about. Mark Davis, 850, 660 AM, The Answer. And let us wrap up the hour by rolling to Keller. Chris, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
I appreciate being on your show.
Thanks.
Hey, if I'm on your show four or five times, am I considered a celebrity now? I
mean, exactly right. The bar shifts mightily at all times.
You know, the reason for my call, I just want to remind you that, you know, these laws, whether it's regarding Jesse Smollett or this Felicity Huffman, I mean, these laws are not open to be subjective. You know, riots and community unrest start because a judge or a party or a group of people decide that these laws, while are on the books, they're just not good enough for someone who has public acclaim.
Yep.
I mean, Hollywood obviously has a short memory when it comes to Martha Stewart or Roseanne. Why should this be any different? These people should go to jail.
Exactly right. And being famous and being wealthy or being black or being liberal should not spare you the punishment that you've earned for breaking the law. And it's easy to say, sadly challenging to do. So we will see how the wheels of justice turn in all these cases. Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Chris. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 858.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.